welcome you this morning to Grace Bible Church. We're glad that you're here on this Sunday morning. And in our call to worship, we're working our way through Ephesians chapter 4, dealing with that first verse that says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And we're looking through this chapter because the Apostle Paul tells us how we can walk worthy of the Lord. He shares with us the truths that help us to walk worthy of the Lord. And we're down in verse 11 today, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so we see that one of those areas in which we are made to walk worthy is being edified by those that God has placed in our lives to communicate God's Word to us. That's how we are able to walk worthy. Being in the house of God, being under the preaching of the Word of God is how we learn to walk with the Lord in a worthy fashion. You know, as a middle schooler, we used to have a track team. And in the sixth grade, our track coach was Coach Dean. And he was not one that put up with foolishness. And when you went out there to run, you ran. Because his voice could penetrate bark on pine trees from 1,000 feet. He just had that ability. It sounded like he was right there in your ear as you were running. Let's go! Let's go! Let's go! I can hear those words just coming across. He didn't need a megaphone. And he expected us to run, and he would get out there with us. He said, you know, when you're running, you gotta run on the balls of your feet. I remember him saying that over and over again. I don't want to see any heel runners. I want to see you running on the balls of your feet. I want to see you pushing off with each step. And he was teaching us how to run worthily in a race. And we need to understand that we can't run worthily if we're not being edified by the individuals that God has put in our hearts and lives, either because we're not present for the edification or we're not listening to the edification. We're not taking to heart the edification that's given to us. That's how we learn to walk worthy of the Lord. I don't think there's an individual here this morning that would say, Pastor Todd, I don't want to walk worthy of the Lord. I think everybody's aspiration is to walk worthily. The question is, how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, you can't do it the world's way. You can't do it religion's way. You have to do it God's way, as given in the Word of God. And so I'm so thankful this morning that God has given us gifts of individuals to encourage us in the walk that we have, so that we walk worthy of our Lord.
Let's begin our singing with number 173. 173. Want to sing Channels Only? Number 173. We'll stand together to sing. Prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for a good day that you've given us, that we can be here together to worship you, to set aside our schedules and to consider the things of the Lord today. Father, to go into your word and to be encouraged, to be exhorted, Lord, to see ways that we can conform into the image of your Son. I pray that you would just be with us this morning as we've met together, every family, every person. Lord, bless our pastor as he speaks to us, and I pray that we truly would be blessed to have been in your house this morning. Lord, I just ask that as we go throughout our life here on the earth, that no matter what happens around us, that we truly would seek to be your channel. That, Father, you would empty us of ourselves, fill us, Lord, with yourself, your Spirit, so that we can be used every day and every hour as we've just sung this morning. And Father, I ask that you'd bless the many ministries that we have going on here at Gospel Projects and our school, our church, Lord, the Youth Athletic Club, all the things that are happening this summer. I pray for the summer camp program. I ask that you would give safety every single day, Lord, that there would be no dangerous situations in the pool or on any field trip or anything in the gym, that, Lord, you would protect each child and be with our counselors, those that meet with them and deal with them, that try to speak to them and encourage them. Bless the Bible times as well. Be with every single day of our summer camp program this year. Father, bless this week with the World Series that's coming up and the many different teams and families and young people that will be on our campus. Father, just pray that it would be a good testimony, that you truly would bless this tournament, if it be your will, that you would hold off any bad weather. We'd be able to keep things on schedule and just bless Pastor as he leads that tournament this week. I pray that all the help would be there that's needed, all the supplies, and that you would just bless every small detail for that. Lord, continue to bless our school as well with the busy time that we are this summer and testing many students and meeting with families and getting things prepared for next year, some changes to the facility, a lot of things going on. May you bless every single thing. Lord, things would be in on time, that you would meet the needs that we have. I ask for every student that's already registered, over 500 students, Lord, for next year. And I just ask for every child's heart that you'd be preparing them to be receptive to your word, to grow in the things of the Lord this year, to become a believer if they are not one. And that, Lord, you would bless the schoolwork this year. And Father, be with our service now as we bring before you, Lord, our songs, as we listen to your word, that truly we would be calm in our souls and not distracted, but focus on your word and on who you are this morning. Thank you for the great God that you are and how you work in our lives each day. Pray your blessings now in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated as we continue to sing. Turn now over to number 357. Over to number 357, In Times Like These. In times like these, we
So good to see each and every one of you here this morning. It's our privilege today to have Miranda Rose with us, a longtime missionary to Peru. And she's going to come and share with us a little bit of a testimony about what the Lord's been doing in her life over the recent years. And we look forward to having you with us today.
Buenos dias. It's good to see you all this morning. Always such a joy to be here. And let me tell you, it's been a while since I've been in Florida for long in the summer. Florida is a hot place. Went with my sister and her little ones to the beach the other night from 5 to about 8:30. And it wasn't cold to get in the water. It wasn't cold. I was blown away. So Peruvians sometimes ask me why it is that Floridians all have air conditioning in their houses. I think you couldn't survive without it here. So anyway, but it is a joy to be here. Thank you so much for the warm welcome. And I just would like to start by sharing a verse and then just share about God's goodness over the last couple of years. So Lamentations 3:25 says, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." And verse 26, "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." And we know that we have security or assurance of our salvation, that we've been saved from sin, that he's sanctifying us, but that we're also waiting for that final salvation of being taken to be with him forever in his presence for eternity. And if there's anything that the last 2 years has taught me, it's that the Lord is good. I was here when 2020, got to see you all briefly some that year, and aren't we thankful that a few things have changed since then? But 2020 was a difficult year, and sometimes when we think of God's goodness, we don't realize that sometimes his goodness is even painful. And in 2020, having to come back from Peru, everything being shut down, everything going online, not getting to go back, it was a challenge. And just as everything was shut down in February of 2020, we had a vision to start a church plant in a new community, or not new to us community, but we'd had a Bible club there, my friend Vicky and I, and it had grown to the point that it was ready. It was prepared for a church plant, and a pastor was coming in, and we were so excited. And then everything got shut down. Everything came to a complete stop. And, you know, it's not right to ask God why, if it's in a spirit of defiance, but if it's with a teachable attitude, "Lord, why did you allow this to happen? I want to understand." It's like a young child coming to their father and saying, "Daddy, can you explain this to me? I want to understand why." And I really struggled a lot with that attitude of just wondering, "Lord, why would this happen? If we were just about to get this started off and we were just about to start the school year," you know, the school year begins in March of every year in Peru. And it took a long time for me to get an answer. But one of the things that the Lord taught me over the 2020 and 2021 is that his ministry, he sustains it, and we're his tools, his instruments, but he doesn't need us in his ministry. He chooses to use us, and it's our privilege. But that little ministry up there in the mountains outside of Lima, that, or I would call them mountains because in Florida we'd call them mountains. The Peruvians call them hills, but the foothills outside of Lima, he sustained that, and we were able to have contact with some of the kids online, even though we couldn't get in there, and some of their families. And then a few designated people were able to take donations that we put together into the community, food, just rice and beans, you know, things to give sustenance to the families. And through that ministry, the Lord opened more doors that had been closed. And so he said, "Look, watch me work. I can use this." You know, what you thought was slamming the door closed, I'm just opening it more through these difficulties. And when I went back in 2021, a friend of mine and I, Amy, she taught at a missionary school there, and I taught at the Peruvian bilingual school, but she and I decided to go weekly up into there and do one-on-one Bible studies with the girls in Jire is the name of the community. And we could have been stopped by the police. We could have been arrested. What we were doing was not legal at the time. But we said, well, you know, every once in a while you go over the speed limit, you know, would it not be better to do something maybe you're not really supposed to be doing, but to share the gospel and to teach people about Christ? And so we did go with the blessing of our pastors and the people that we were working with, but we went into the community weekly. And then little by little, throughout 2021, it grew. A pastor was able to come in. I was in Peru until mid-March of this year. And the week after I came back to the States, they had a new building. They started the church services there. And it just is incredible to me, you know, how the Lord worked through that. And the Lord worked as well through our church ministry, our online services. You know, it was hard. I know you all also experienced that some here. And it's difficult to understand. But even through that, the Lord allowed people to come to our church services that never would have set foot in our church building. And people trusted Christ as Savior through the oxygen ministry that we had, thanks to Grace Bible Church and helping us out with the oxygen. And we were able to share that with people that couldn't get it. I think you all know the mafia in Lima bought up most of the oxygen, and only people that had lots of money could get access to it. It was just kind of a mess. But it was just amazing to see God work through that. And to be completely transparent, I wasn't always full of joy during 2020 and 2021. There were times that were very low, times that were very lonely, and very difficult things that happened. But the Lord showed me, even through those painful things, I reached a point that I was thankful. And many of you know that I was in a relationship at that time that I thought was going to be a forever relationship, and it fell apart during 2020. And it took me a good 6 months to be thankful that God allowed that to happen. So, you know, the Lord he's good. He's always good. And we can always thank him even when it doesn't make sense to us. Even when it still hurts, we can tell him thank you. And just coming back to the States in July of last year, I was here to take care of Grandpa. And that was when I realized he couldn't be alone anymore, and the family was taking turns. And I went back to Peru, but it was very hard to leave him. And I thought I had said my last goodbye when I left in early August of last year. But during that time that I was here, I was in Florida for 3 days. And in those 3 days, I said, I have to go visit Aunt Carolyn. I just knew I needed to see her. And Dad and I went, we spent some time with her, and I had no idea that that was going to be the last time. But I'm so thankful that I got to talk with her and visit with her, and she got to pick on us and tease us in the way that she always did. And I'm thankful for online. I'm thankful that her service could be shared on Facebook Live. But there are just things, funerals, people that I was able to go to funerals of that I wouldn't have been here for. And so I'm thankful. And then many of you know that I've met someone. My aunt introduced me to a wonderful young man. He's the minister of music at her church. And we started talking, and it's grown into something more serious. So we're praying. We pray together every night and just seeking God's will. So I ask you all to pray with me for that. You know, no ring yet. No, I know several people have asked me, so I thought I'll just share it here. So no definitive plans yet, but we are planning to take a trip to Peru in August so that he can meet the people and see the places that have been such a big part of my life over the last 8 years. And while in the States, I'm serving in my grandpa's church. They have one lady that's a pianist. She's in her 90s, so she can't be there often or all the time. So I'm playing the piano and helping in music ministry and children's ministry. We're going to start a children's choir as soon as I get back from here. And there's a lady that I've been discipling there. Her name is Melody, and she trusted Christ. She was baptized a couple weeks ago, and I've been meeting with her weekly since April, early April, and discipling her. So you all can pray for Melody. Had the joy of being the guest speaker for a Spanish ladies conference there in Myrtle Beach as well. So the Lord is showing me that even though he's led me home to take care of my grandpa, which is a full-time job in itself, he's also giving me ways to minister and blessing me in ways that I couldn't have expected. So he's always good, and I don't deserve it. I don't deserve his goodness, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what he's taught me through this, and I'm thankful for you all. I'm thankful for the support, the prayer, and the encouragement. So God bless you all.
Miranda has been a faithful, faithful lady, serving in Honduras, serving in Peru, and the Lord has used her, and she's learned so many different things. When she was teaching our children piano, she had thought she had reached a new low in life, but the Lord has lifted her up and given her so many opportunities in Christian education there, and now ministering in a local church there in South Carolina. And so we're praying with you about the ring. So we thank you so much. I believe that Miranda deserves a big round of applause for her faithfulness. Amen.
Turn number 565. 565. We'll sing just the first verse of Send the Light, number 565.
There's a call comes ringing over the rest. Forever.
God's people said. Amen. Appreciate that beautiful duet with the two sisters, Caitlin and Nicole. Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together this morning to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're coming down to the end of our series that we have been doing about preparing for the end of life. It's not something that people like to think about. It's not something that people meditate upon, but it's something that the Bible has called us to do, that we are prepared to meet our Lord, no matter what age. It's not something you do when you get in your 60s. It's something that you've done. Did you hear me now? It's something you've already done. First of all, by being prepared eternally, having your soul in Jesus Christ so that you're ready to meet Him. But there are other things that we need to prepare for. What about the next generation? Are we thinking about them? And are we leaving anything of value behind? Not just a memorial stone in a cemetery that has your dates on it and maybe a Bible verse or a quaint saying. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about a marble angel. We're not talking about maybe a marble animal that you liked and that's your life gift at a cemetery for people to see and know about your life. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about leaving something of value behind that will live on in other people's lives. And we're going to be emphasizing this today and next Sunday as we draw this to a conclusion. And it's leaving something of value behind. I want to begin reading in verse 12 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in that holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for the opportunity we have this morning to cherish Your Word by taking it into our hearts. I pray that You would give us ears to hear. There are so many wonderful things that are shared in this particular passage, and I pray that You would open our hearts to receive it, but not only just to receive it, but to apply it in our daily lives. We thank You for the testimony of Peter. And we thank You, Father, that at the end of his life, he was desirous to put the people of God into remembrance of certain truths that would set them in good stead for the future, even after Peter had passed. And I pray that we might leave behind similar truths for our young people and have a zealous desire for them and for the future generations. For I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, the best defense against error in the local church is to be a true, born-again, Bible-believing Christian. That's the best defense in the local church. A church filled with growing Christians, vibrant in their faith, is not likely to fall prey to false teachers and counterfeit narratives that are opposing biblical Christianity. Jesus said to His disciples, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of what? Wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Matthew 10 and verse 16. Christian, you are in unfriendly territory. And the worst section of the territory is religion. Let me say that again. A lot of people think, oh no, it's the cultural narrative. That's the worst thing about the world. But I'm going to tell you something. The enemies of the cross are found in the religious territory. They have got all kinds of narratives that they are pushing that are unbiblical. I saw on a sign just this week, a church having a vacation Bible school, and it had some catchy title to it, and the center of it was an electric guitar. And it's a narrative that they're pushing for a week with the young people about how they can know God through music. But the music is the music of the world. And they've got the electric guitar center stage as far as what kids... I'm going to tell you something, folks. God chose the foolishness of preaching to deliver the gospel. I know that we want to have good activities and fun activities, but when we start pushing the culture on our children and saying, this is the way you can follow Christ, that's wrong. All day long wrong. Instead of an electric guitar, there should be a cross, an empty cross. Because children need to come to know that they're sinners. They're an offense to God. Did you know that? Oh, not our cute children. They're not an offense to God. The Bible says that we all are in our sinful state. But God loved us and sent His Son to bear our sin and His body on the tree. He saved us to communicate His truth, not His truth mixed with our truth. You understand the difference? He said, you communicate my truth, Paul. You communicate my truth, Peter. He didn't say, you can take my truth and you can fix it up ever how you want to fix it up. Did He give permission for us to do that? You know, it's like me being hired to come and do landscaping in somebody's yard. And they tell me what they want to do, and I look at it and I said, oh, that's all wrong. I don't like what they're wanting me to do. So I do my own thing. All right? I do my own thing. And they come back and they see that their little azalea, that all they wanted is trim, is down to the stump. What did you do? What did you do to my beautiful azalea? Oh, I know what I need to do here. I disagreed with what you had to do. Well, you didn't have that right. You didn't have that right. We have that feeling, though many people do, when it comes to the Bible. God said do it this way, but I think it should be done another way. The problem is, as the next generation sees that we're adapting to the culture, and what are they going to do? They're going to do the same thing and worse. That's why Peter was so concerned. He was zealous for the next generation. And he wanted to leave behind something of value. Now, most people, when they think about leaving behind things, they think about a will. And it's very wise to have a will. My wife and I, when we had our children and they were very small, we had a will made. So if something happened to us, we would have our children taken care of, and that they would know how we wanted them to be reared, and we put all that stuff in a document for a will. Nowadays, you know, we have so many things to leave behind, it's not possible to put everything in a will. Do you know in the state of Florida, they have what's called a personal property memorandum. And what you can do is you can come up with this document and you can list all of your possessions and who you want them to go to. Isn't that nice? Now, I don't have a whole lot to leave behind. But, you know, the kids have mentioned a few things maybe that they'd like to have in the future, you know. A lot of people have a family Bible. Some people have this china set that was given to them by their great-grandparents, and they want to leave it behind. So, you know, the will can get really long and really big. So what the state of Florida allows you to do is just make a reference in your will to your personal property memorandum, and then you can have all the things listed in this little separate document. It becomes legal because it's mentioned in your will. And you can have this long list and everybody can be happy after you die. Right? Is everybody going to be happy after you die? They left that to who? I told Mama years ago I wanted that. And she told me I could have it. Okay, well, the document says it's going to Uncle Bubba. He's going to get it. Oh, you know how people get all twisted up? So many times we lose sight of what's true and what's purposeful and what's important in life. All right? Because, by the way, one day somebody else is going to get your stuff. All right? It's going to be given. Mrs. Peppert has known that over the past 6 months or so, going through all of the stuff that Dr. and Mrs. Hobbs had in their house. And did you keep everything, Mrs. Peppert? No, it was farmed out. And I'm still getting stuff. You know, pictures and things about the early days of the ministry. We got the plans this week for the house that they built, and stuff that was just stored away and nobody knew where it was located and things of that nature. But, you know, we have things that we want to leave behind to those. But let me ask you something. Have you left behind a personal, spiritual memorandum? Now think with me just a moment. What in the world is he talking about? A personal, spiritual memorandum, because that's exactly what Peter did in this passage of Scripture. He put together some things that he wanted them to remember. He wanted them to keep in mind. He had nothing physical to give them. But he had plenty of spiritual things to give to those that would hear and listen. I want you to see three motives behind Peter's end-of-life ministry. Number one, and this comes from verse 12, obedience to Christ's command. Look at verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent. Now, we all know what negligence is. That's when you're supposed to do something and you don't do it. All right? And he wanted them to remember some things. He didn't want to be negligent and not sharing with them. He says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. It was obedience that led him. What was the job of a preacher? Well, Paul said, preach the word. Be instant in season and what? Out of season. You know, preachers have to be instant out of season as well as in season. It almost sounds like a hunting trip, you know, for preachers. You know, we got in season, we got out of season. But for the preacher, we have to be ready to preach the word. Preach, pray, or die. That's what we were told in seminary. You got to be ready. I still to this day carry sermons in the back of my in my Bible, so I'll have them ready to go. Notes, things of that nature. And guess I get called upon. You know, you never know when you're going to be called upon. And Peter said, I want to be obedient to God's commands in my life. I must share with the next generation important things that will keep them on the straight and narrow. Don't you want that for your children? Don't you want them to stay on the straight and narrow? We live in a day where some parents just don't care anymore. They're not the least bit interested, and it's proven by the way they live their lives. But not the believers. Believers have a desire for their children. They want them to walk with Christ. They want them to follow Jesus Christ. And Peter says, I want to be obedient. Secondly, he said, I want to do the right thing. Verse 13. Yea, I think it meet. That's that phrase there. I think it meet. I think it right is the word there. As long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I love that phrase, to stir you up. You know what it's a picture of? I've watched a few videos over the years of mother eagles. When it comes time for the little eaglets to learn how to fly. You know how they do it? Oh, they're so easy and gentle with them. They actually, the mother will get up to the edge and will boot them out. And here's this fledgling bird in free fall. And the eagle mother will come up underneath them, pick them right up on the top of her back, pull them right back up to the top again, boom, right back over again. And before long, the eaglet says, this is getting old really quick. What are these things for? And they start flapping them. Whoo! 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 They're excited, but they're still in free fall because they haven't gotten that thing. So mama eagle comes up underneath them, whoop, picks them right back up, takes them back up again. And they do practice runs all the time. And the eaglets come back after 2 or 3 days of that and said, hey, Bubba, you know what I did today? I made a complete circle. Did you do that? Yeah, I did that. I did too. And then all of a sudden, the nest starts busting apart because Mama Eagle is tearing it up. She will take that nest and she will just scatter it everywhere with her beak, pulling it all apart. Now, with love, she had put that nest together. She had spent a lot of time gathering sticks, gathering little trinkets that would be inside, colorful things that she had found, ribbon that she had interwoven between the nest and so forth. But now she's tearing up. Hey, what's Mama doing? And she said, kids, over here. This is not home anymore. You can make your own. What? Yeah, you go make your own. Now, that the word that's used there for stir up literally means to break apart. That's what Peter was doing. Are you kidding me? Breaking apart, yeah, we have that in our lives if we're going to be worth anything for God. He said, I think this is the right thing to do. I'm going to stir you up before I leave so that you'll remember these things. You know, it's always things that happen, certain things. How many of you can remember where you were when 9/11 took place? I don't think I've met a person yet that didn't remember where they were. I was down at Milton Computers. I was standing behind the counter. I was picking up a computer that we had repaired. And Mr. Cornett said, Todd, come back here. I walked around the corner. All of his staff was gathered around a TV. As I walked up there, the second plane went into the side of the tower there. And it was just like, what is happening? What is happening? And I said, I got to get back up to the school. So I picked up the computer. I got back up to the school. And we started hearing they were shutting down airlines. NAS Whiting Field was shutting down. Parents were coming to get their kids. I mean, it was an astounding day, September the 11th, 2001. It's embedded in my memory, and I'm sure in yours, that are old enough to remember what happened on that day. Some of you can remember December the 7th, 1941, when the announcement came over by the President of the United States, President Roosevelt, and said, Pearl Harbor has been bombed in an unprovoked attack by the Japanese. People living in that era, it's embedded in their memory. And many of you could go through other important events that have happened in recent history. It's embedded in our minds because of the tragedy or the stirring up of the moment. It leaves an indelible mark in the brain. And that's what Peter wanted to do. Number three, he was zealous for the next generation. And this is what I want you to see in verse 15. Moreover, I will, and there's just a key word right here, endeavor. Endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. I'm going to be leaving soon, Peter says. I'm going to be ushered into heaven. He would have to go through a very cruel death. But he wanted to leave something behind of value. He wanted to leave something for the next generation. Some people want to leave things behind for the next generation. But I want to tell you something. There's something way more important, and that's a spiritual heritage. Amen? A spiritual heritage. That's what Peter says. After my decease, when I'm gone, I want you to remember these things. He was zealous. That's the idea of endeavor. It means to go after a project with zeal. Everybody wants to have a worker that is zealous about their job. We've all seen people. We've sat in grocery stores with unzealous people checking you out. All right? Moving at a snail's pace. All right? And then, we got a mistake here. We need to get the manager. Hold on just a second. Click. Walk over to the office. 5 minutes later, come back. That happened to me, by the way, 2 weeks ago. They came walking back. The manager's not available right now. I said, well, who's on the floor? Who else can do it? Oh, I forgot. There is somebody over there. I said, you know, you have this little thing you can pick up and dial to get them in here. Oh, mine doesn't work. How wonderful for me. It doesn't work, you know. Finally, the person came over there. Boop, 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 they had it all done, psh, and they were gone. Okay, now we can do you. And I stood there, and it just was trying to find the barcode. You know, have you ever felt like, I can do this myself? All right? I can do this myself. Beep, 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 beep. I'm out the door. But some people are just unzealous. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? You've met unzealous people, unzealous workers, unzealous people that would just, if they would just go away and somebody else would come, would be a great blessing. Not Peter. Endeavor. It's the idea of going after a project with all my zeal. I want to leave you something, Peter says. And I'm going to stir you up. I'm going to be zealous about this work because I'm concerned about the next generation. Lord willing, next Sunday we're going to get into three things that he shared. But I want you to think with me as we close this message this morning. What am I leaving behind of value? I know you may have your personal property memorandum. You've got it all laid out. Who's going to get what? Who's going to get this and who's going to... But in reality, that's not the important thing you should be leaving behind. Those are just things that one day, the Bible says, are going to be burned up. Every precious thing that we hold dear in our lives, and I feel for people that have house fires and lose all of the pictures and lose all the valuables that they've kept throughout life, but then they find out, I'm still here. I'm alive. My family are still alive. What truly mattered is still here. Can we live without those things? The answer is, yes, we can. And if you cannot, something is wrong about that problem there. You got a problem if you can't live without your things. We have to say goodbye to a lot of stuff over time. Whenever I get into those reminiscent moments, thinking about whenever I was a kid, I had a favorite bike whenever I was a kid. It belonged to my older brother Doug, and it was handed down. It had a gear shift, a 5-speed gear shift. It had a banana seat. Some of you kids don't know what I'm talking about. How many of you remember the banana seats? Had the big high bar on the back. And you leaned back on that thing and you pedaled. And if you wanted to really go fast, you put it in 5th gear. Now, it didn't move on its own. You had to pedal like crazy to get it up fast. But it had slicks on the back of it. And I think about it. I wonder where that bike is. Okay? I guarantee nobody's riding it today. That bike is long gone. Almost 50 years have passed since that bicycle. Oh, I had a lot of toys and stuff growing up. They're all gone now. They're just things. We have a lot of things in our personal property memorandum. But I want to tell you something. You better get busy on your personal spiritual memorandum and leave something behind. As we're going to see, Peter's got some valuable things he wants to leave behind with the next generation after he's gone. How about you? Do you have a similar desire about your children and about your grandchildren that you can leave them something of greater value that will last for all eternity? That's the desire that Peter had. And it should be our desire today. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for the testimony of Peter. Boy, he had a heart for the next generation. He didn't want to just die. He wanted to leave behind things for the next generation to remember that were of value. His personal obedience to Christ would be a witness. His desire to do the right thing would be a witness. his endeavor, his zealous desire to put them in remembrance of these things would be remembered by the next generation as they look back on the life of Peter. And Lord, I pray that as we unfold this passage of Scripture, that we might take to heart these things that we should leave behind for our kids. If we leave behind them physical things, those will all wear out and one day be lost. But if we leave behind spiritual verities, those will never wear out. Those will be things that will keep them in good stead for the remainder of their life and for all eternity. Lord, I pray that we might be desirous to leave things behind that have value. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We'll close this morning with number 320. Number 320 reminds us that we are redeemed not with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, the things that truly matter and are spiritual. Let's stand together. Number 320, verse number 1.
Nor silver, nor gold.
Message this morning, the emphasis on, Lord, the things you have done for us that are of eternal value, your death on the cross, the blood of Christ. And Father, I pray that as we consider even our end of life and the things here on earth that we tend to hold as valuable, Lord, they pale in comparison when we think of the eternal things you've done for us. Father, help us to have the right perspective as we continue to live and serve you. Thank you for this day again, and thank you for those that have gathered. Bless each one. In Christ's name, amen. Bless you.